When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quick heads up, we recorded this pod in late December, which is why we're talking about Christmas in the future. All right, let's go. Hello and welcome to Kernels. I'm Christopher Hooton, culture editor at The Independent. I'm here with my colleague, Jacob Stallworthy.
Hello, hello. How are you?
No bad, man. You looking forward to Christmas?
Oh, I'm buzzing for Christmas. I love Christmas, me. Are you?
No, it makes me feel sad and empty.
No.
But I'm sure I'll find some time to have fun in there.
I mean, yeah. You'll just relax.
I can't relax.
Really?
I need to be on the go. As soon as I sit down, I'm like, oh, I've already wanted this. And then I'm like, actually, no, I'm climbing the walls.
Oh, man, Christmas must be hard for you.
Anyway. We actually just had our Christmas party the other night.
We did
all the cliches, you know, getting hopelessly drunk, having overly emotional and philosophical conversations with other colleagues.
Things go emotional.
All the classics. But outside of that, who have you been speaking to?
So I've been speaking to Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nice.
Who is a, let's be honest, he's a Hollywood megastar, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about him, but back in the kind of the Donnie Darko days, the early days, I wasn't a huge fan of his, often because he'd be cast as this like hero and likable person, but I'm like, he's actually kind of creepy. So I never was sure, but then later in his career, more recently when he's been started to put in this kind of roles where he's intended to be creepy, I'm like, now it really works for me. I think the first one was when I saw Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the kind of roles he should be playing.
Completely.
You know? That more was like Patrick Bateman than like the nice guy.
100%. That was a real turning point for him, I think. And I think what I like about Jake Gyllenhaal for me is that he's, what sets him apart is that I do think he really does focus on character. And while it doesn't always work, he's had a few, kind of a few roles now where the film around him hasn't been that great, but his role's been good. He's been great in it. I think Nightcrawler was definitely the peak of that. It was amazing. And I don't know how he didn't get any awards attention that year. Because it's also, whilst being terrifying, it's also hilarious.
It is, yeah.
Which we do touch upon this in the interview. He was happy to talk about his past roles, which I really liked. But we were there to talk about Stronger, which is, he plays Jeff Bowman, who lost both his legs after the tragic Boston Marathon bombing in 2013. And instead of being kind of a really overly sentimental, lifestyle movie type.
Yeah, because I must admit, heartstrings. Like, I've not even seen the trailer for this one. I'd only seen like the poster on the underground, you know, the guy kind of on the bars trying to get better. It does look like it could be one of those overly sentimental films.
And it's not, and I completely expected it to be that. And part of the reason why it's not is because of Jake Gyllenhaal, but it's also to do with David Gordon Green, who's the director of Pineapple Express and others, who's directed this film. And he, there's comedy in there. It's funny. And it's Jeff Bowman himself, who Jake Gyllenhaal, he absolutely adores. I mean, they've become friends outside of the film. But he just seems like a really down-to-earth guy who, this awful thing happened to him, but he stayed resilient. And it's a nice film. It's a nice film. You know, I've got to be honest, it isn't my favourite Jake Gyllenhaal film, but I was really bowled over
surprised,
by...
Yeah,
he has taken a real huge producer role in this, and he felt... I think he feels really responsible for it. So it was really lovely talking to him about it. But but we also talk about his other roles, his little scene comedies from 2000. He did a little scene comedy in 2001 called Bubble Boy, which is it's kind of rogue. But he was happy to talk about that as much as he was to talk about Nightcrawler. So yeah, I hope you
all
enjoy.
Right, well, yeah, say no more. Let's just drop in.
Hi, how are you?
Jacob.
Yes.
We're not going to pay you. Thank you.
Makes it easy, Reed, doesn't it?
It actually does.
How's it going? You're right.
Crazy
junket circuit.
It's been a bit like with like a film like this. It's not like the movement of it is. You know, it's always, how do I put this? Making this movie, getting it made, all the things involved in it. Isn't the typical journey.
Yeah.
So it's like, I sort of knew I was coming to London about a month ago.
Right.
Right. But then I didn't know I was going to stop in Zurich. And you know what I mean? And now, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like all the, you know, you're kind of like, I'm over here. And then they would love you to come here. And I'm like, anything for the movie. Yeah, so I find myself kind of, I have done a lot of interviews.
Yeah.
But there's something about this movie that, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it. But
yeah.
Like, you know.
You're happy to run with the spontaneity of yeah. being just flying around the world. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw it in Toronto. The
film. Oh, you did?
I did, and I really enjoyed it. And thanks. I think what I like about it is it could have been just another heart-wrenching, weepy, designed to make you cry. But it's just peppered with comedy as well throughout.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that about it. I mean, you bulked up for Southpaw.
Mm-hmm.
You lost the weight for Nightcrawler, but could this be the most you've pushed yourself for a role?
I mean, there were other aspects to those roles besides like weight loss and weight gain, but no. But I mean, in the physical world, understanding what it's like to try and conceptualize what it's like to not only, you know, lose your limbs, but also in the way in which Jeff did, and trying to recalibrate your life physically, mentally, emotionally, all those things. And then also just the fact that that is a real human being who's, you know, still here and is vibrant and thoughtful. Mm. And, you know, I think all of those aspects made it, I think, a real challenge for me, because I felt like I wanted to do him service. There was a responsibility I felt to him mm-hmm. all the way along.
Yeah.
That was added on top of the fact that I just wanted to do everything I could to get it right.
Yeah.
You know? So yes, I would say yes. I think in the yeah. physical challenge of that,
yeah.
it's why I say about him, I really feel like he's superhuman, you know? Because he really truly is what he does every day and what he's gotten through.
Yeah.
So I guess the answer to that question is yes.
That's great, and I mean it completely pays off in the film. And my favorite scenes are the scenes where it's you just camera close up on you and Tatiana.
Mm.
It's like the scene where the bandages
mm-hmm.
are being pulled off, and you just see it on your face. I mean,
mm.
how do you prepare for a scene such as that?
It's just about being enough I spent a year with Jeff before we started shooting,
right.
So I was very aware of, I could feel where he was when we talked about things. I spent so much time watching him on sort of strange interviews and listening to him on radio shows before I knew him. You know, I listened to all these archival interviews he had done, and there's an amazing piece that was done by the New York Times about him, a video piece, and I got all of the extra footage. Jeff hooked me up with the filmmaker there, and I watched all this extra footage of Jeff early on, and then just time with him and all his medical practitioners. I think all those experiences go into a moment, so
sure.
that when you know, the real Dr. Kalish, who's the surgeon who amputated Jeff's legs, is in that scene. He's
amazing.
The one talking to me.
Okay.
And then there are the two real nurses, BMC nurses,
yeah.
the Boston Medical Center nurses, who are, one of them was this woman, Odessa Boykin, who is his actual ICU nurse.
Right.
And then the other ones who are actual nurses. So everyone around us in that moment was real. And that was based, for instance, on a situation that we improvised. We rolled the camera for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a situation that was a scene that was not written in the script initially, but was written in an early draft that John Polano had written about. This incredible moment that Jeff had said he didn't really want to have either him or Aaron see his legs when they did it.
Right.
And that was just so moving. And I think just preparation and knowing the experience, having talked through the experience so many times with Jeff, understanding that situation, just you could feel, you just felt it. I mean, and then the job takes over and you try and be present.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. Was David would roll the camera for very long takes, and there would be a moment where those boundaries sort of disappeared and dissolved, and we were living in the moment.
Yeah.
And also we were filled, the scenes sometimes were filled with the real people.
See, I didn't realize that's amazing.
Yeah.
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 And I mentioned before about the film being peppered with comedy, which was a
yes.
real nice surprise to me.
Yeah.
It kind of hit me that I haven't seen you in a proper comedy. Not properly since...
You don't want to.
Right? I mean, I'm thinking of Bubble Boy in the early noughties, right? Which is,
it's a comedy.
It's seen as a... It's a bit of a cult comedy. And
Zach Galifianakis is in it, so yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like... Yeah, you touched upon it yourself, but do you have a preference for drama? Is that what it is?
No, I just... I think I gravitate towards a certain type of depth of character, mm-hmm. you know? But the reason why I wanted to do the movie was because I had been laughing when I first read the screenplay, you know? At page 4, I surprisingly found myself cracking up. And then I was so moved, and then I would, like, find myself another scene, and I would be cracking up again, you know? So that was what got me, and it made me want to play the character. Mm-hmm. It's why I love Jeff, too, is because he's just, I mean, constantly ripping me up and and so funny, you know? One of the funniest people I know, so... I would love to be, for me, I just, you know, you want to feel like the time spent while you're making a film is meaningful for whatever reason. And I just don't have the desire to, for instance, make a film that feels like it's existing on the surface. But if there's comedy within something, or if it's comedic and it has something to say, you know, then I would love to be a part of it.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, you could argue Nightcrawler is a comedy in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about it, do you, what is your code for choosing roles? I mean, it's a really exclusive club of amazing characters. But what is it?
It's my instinct, I guess. I mean, I think it does have to have a sense of irony and some sort of edge on which to sort of skate. You know, you know, like I, like you said, in the Nightcrawler, I did always think of a number of those scenes as hilarious.
Yeah,
you know, and they are. People say, "Oh, he's so creepy, scary," and I go, "He's hilarious to me in a lot of ways too." I mean, he's a social commentary on so many things, and disturbing, but they always have to have a myriad of sides to them, and the possibility for me to be able to say, on this take I can go here, on that take I can go here, you know, that there's an obtuse kind of quality to all of them, that you're not just very clear about intentions. I could walk into one take, and in the case of Nightcrawler, I just worked with Riz Ahmed again on another film, and it was very interesting, us like kind of rejiggering our relationship, because from Nightcrawler into this other film where he actually played a little bit more of a dominant character in the relationship.
Yeah.
So we were both like,
What's happening?
Yeah. But it was in the case of Nightcrawler, it was very interesting to say, well, I'm going to approach one take as if I'm going to attack him, and then one take as if I'm like slowly just befriending him. And I think that a character that allows me to make those kinds of choices makes my job more fun and interesting to discover. So it's probably part of that.
Yeah.
And then most of all, just the filmmaker, working with people who I respect and respect me, because it's, you're living your life in the midst of all this, you know, I mean, this is your life. And I think that's the realization, is it's about the relationships, you know? And I think that that energy of relationships in a movie translates onto in the final product.
That's great. Yeah. I think, and the list of, directors you worked with is pretty amazing.
They're amazing people, all, each and every one of them.
Mm.
Even Blair Hayes, who did Bubble Boy, is one of the most wonderful directors I've worked with, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think that movie gets a bad rap in a particular way, just because it sort of has an absurdity to it. But he truly, as an actor's director, is one of the most wonderful directors I've worked with. You know?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Is there any role? I mean, do you enjoy watching your films back?
I don't know about enjoy. That might not be the right word, but I do. There are times where something will come on a television, and I'll say like, huh, and I'll watch it for a few minutes. And particularly as, you know, it's been 20 years I've been doing this, which is kind
That's
of
crazy.
Extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, I'm beyond lucky to do it. Just don't tell anybody. I'm a little superstitious. I'll watch things, and then I'll be like, oh, or I'll think I had done something interesting, and then I realize
really?
It wasn't. Yeah. Or just I've evolved or moved beyond an idea or something. You know, that's always interesting.
Fast
to watch.
Moving. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't really. I don't think I don't enjoy
watching
myself.
No.
No. producing something and watching thousands of cuts of a film, I do enjoy. And then I can objectify and I speak about the character outside of myself, because it's not really my goal at that point, and always has been, to make a great story. Selfishly, I know that if the story is good, then the performance will be good.
Definitely.
And that's the priority. So if it means cutting something out, or people hating something about something I'm doing, or people loving it and me not, I have to trust those things.
That's really interesting.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you touched upon something I was going to ask. Is there any films that are a no-go area for you, like in your filmography?
No. Yeah. People love to talk about, different films as like turning points where I realize things about myself. At least journalists tend to talk about that.
I can imagine that.
And in truth, I feel like, I think as I get a bit older, I do realize that it is a journey, and it's sort of like it's filled with all just these interesting comments about you and yourself and as an artist throughout your life. So, no.
And if if you have to preserve in a time capsule three performances, yours, because I've got three, which would be Nightcrawler, hands down. Enemy, which I think is still Denis' best film. I saw Blade Runner the other night. Think Enemy is his best film.
No way.
Really. And The Day After Tomorrow.
Really?
Honestly. Right.
That's like, it's like, there are certain movies that you're at a certain age and you're like, just has a resonance with you. But do you watch it still?
I mean, I've got it on DVD.
No
Jake.
Way!
I do.
Oh, well,
yeah,
okay,
I do.
Okay.
I should have brought it with me.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Yeah.
Performances. I mean, I am. There are things that mark different moments for me as in understanding. And they're not all movies. I just did this show Sunday in the Park with George. This show on Broadway, and that show marked something for me that was huge. I think Nightcrawler in a lot of ways, because I was experimenting with a number of ideas and sort of techniques, and I love those words so much.
Yeah.
Just the words, I love them so much, and I was just sad to let them go. And
yeah.
And then I think it's funny, they all mean different things. I don't know if I have I have experiences, all the experiences I love. Like, I remember when I was working on Jarhead with Sam Mendes, like, he was the first sort of director that I had worked with that empowered me as an actor.
Okay.
Really sort of took no excuses for my insecurities and just, asked for a leader, And I think that was, at a young age, a huge lesson, and I've since realized, someone said to me the other day, I was an older man, he was about 90, we were at Spalding Rehabilitation Center in Boston, where we had the premiere for this movie, and it was the father of Michelle Kerr, who is Jeff Bowman's physical therapist, who got him walking again. He's about 90. He turned and looked at me, and he put his hand out and he said, "Are you the star of the picture?" And I felt a generation of say to me, there was a time in which, when you were in a film as an actor in it, and I do feel like this on the stage, there is a somewhat of a leadership role that is essential. you know, that there's a community of people and we're all working together in that space. And are you the face of this thing? And I shook his hand and I said, yes, sir, I am. You know, and I think something very honorable in that, you know, and I felt that way with Sam. He was like, you know, he made me feel that way, and I felt that responsibility. So there are those types of lessons and things when I see a performance that are not just about the results. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard for me to watch the result.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the experience of the movie itself.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And very, very quickly to wrap up, your sister's smashing it in TV at the minute.
Yes.
The Deuce.
Yes.
Would you ever consider the jump out? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become a kind of a non-question, I guess, now, because it's so interchangeable. It's so interchangeable.
I think the way in which the platforms in which we watch whatever we watch are changing. I mean, I did a film with Netflix earlier this year, and then I'm doing now. Dan Gilroy is, you know, I'm doing the next movie with Dan and Renee, and you know we're doing it at Netflix. You know,
amazing.
So I think those mediums are changing, and I think long form storytelling is incredible and allows you as a performer to go discover things. I mean, that's what my sister would say about work, particularly working with, I mean, when she did An Honorable Woman and then she did The Deuce and with David Simon and George Pelicano. I think there's that idea of spending time with those people. When I talk about relationships and
yeah.
those relationships with people, I think you have more time.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, it's less the medium. I think there's a sort of equality in those mediums where there used to be some strange hierarchy with movies versus television or some bullshit, you
yeah.
know. I don't think that exists, and it really has always been about the role and the story. But I do think that there is a sacred quality to going to the theater and
100%.
Yeah, making that effort to get there, as much as we never, like, there's part of us that never really wants to go. There's part.
Yeah.
Every time I walk out of the theater, I'm always like, I want to watch movies. I want to go to the theater so much more often, you know, but it's a commitment and it's expensive, but
mm-hmm.
you know, wouldn't you rather pay that much a month to watch however much you want than to go once? But I think those experiences have changed my life, and to be a part of a community of people watching together, I don't know, but yes, definitely. I mean, you want to, as an actor, you just want to keep working.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you know, whatever.
I think you're going to be fine.
We'll see. But I mean, that's the goal. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Thank
really,
you.
Really great to meet
really
you.
Nice to meet you.
All right, so that was Kernels for this week. Until, well, 2018 will be the
wow.
next one now. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Indeed. So yeah, thanks, Jacob, for joining us.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
And yeah, thanks for listening, guys. You know, please do follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, rate, review, subscribe, buy a Frisbee.
Do it.
Call your mum. Tell you love her. Consider
empirical.
A name change.
Oh, that's a big one.
Pat a dog.
Yeah, that... Yeah,
definitely.
Pat multiple dogs.
Pat multiple dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, until next time.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.